Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the B2B Pipeline Pioneer Show with your favorite guest host, me, Ariana Shannon, Director of Brand Marketing here at Sales Intel, coming to you from a remote location due to some power outages. So we're so thankful to have everyone here with us. This show is dedicated to helping you and teams build winning pipelines because at Sales Intel, we believe that pipeline is a team sport. It's not just up to marketing, sales, partnerships, community, product. Everyone has to come together, align towards a common goal to build that pipeline effectively and make it run smoothly. So it takes a village, literally. Here to talk about pipeline today, I'm joined by Kira Feely, sales leadership thought leader and international speaker and author. Kira, welcome to the show.
Thanks a million, Ariana. It's mighty to be here.
Of course. Let's go ahead and kick off with the easy question. Give us a 60-second introduction of yourself and how you have contributed to helping others build pipeline.
Absolutely. I empower sales leaders and their teams to lead high-converting client conversations. And there's a few steps in doing that, but the basis and the foundation of it is building better quality relationships and really designing a better experience for the buyer in the sales funnel.
Sounds good. So definitely a lot of advice given there because you have a slightly different approach to this. You as an individual, that's as a thought leader and seller, having a different experience to build pipeline versus those who are at like an in-house organization. Good.
Yeah. So I'm going to share what I see work at numerous different organizations from SaaS to other types of technology. And I have a lot of clients in the events and hospitality industry too.
Excellent. I'm very excited to pick your brain then. So then let's start talking about last year. There was a lot of challenges felt across multiple markets, especially in SaaS, where buying decisions were slow, pipelines were halted, and even just some budgets just dried up. What was the biggest challenge that you saw across the companies that you were servicing?
Yeah, it was really boil down to one big thing. So many sales leaders and directors were coming to me because they were frustrated that their team weren't generating enough quality conversations with the buyers. So they felt that there was a lot of transactional sales people out there, a lot of salespeople really just trying to sell via email. Maybe perhaps it came from COVID, maybe it just came from being in that really busy and in demand economy previous to that. And there was a lot of selling via email, a lot of hiding behind technology, even is a phrase that I've heard, and just not enough picking up the phone and getting out there and having those face-to-face frank conversations with clients that's going to help you to have better knowledge of the client, to understand what are the problems that they have that they don't want and what are the results that they want they don't have right now, but hopefully you are the solution to that. So that was a really big thing across the board and a frustration that I saw.
No, and that makes sense because essentially what I heard you saying there, Kira, is that some industries and places have a year of plenty. And so perhaps sales professionals could get away with those tactics before, but now in a time of scarcity, it sounds like we've almost lost the skill in some capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. You can say that it's a generational thing. You can say that it comes from overwhelm. There's overwhelm out there too, perhaps. People spinning their wheels is another phrase that I've heard. And they're doing the same thing over and over again and hoping to get a different result. But that's just not going to cut it anymore.
No, you have to step out there. You have to be present, of a human approach is what we're hearing, especially as it comes through in the juxtaposition of using AI in those conversations. Is that something that you think people are applying in 2024?
I think the salespeople and the companies that are going to get it right and be most successful from now onwards are those companies that are getting the right mix between AI and personalization and those human to human having conversations with your clients. AI is going to be fantastic in terms of freeing up salespeople to do more of the activities that's going to convert higher value business. I'm talking about profitable business and bigger value deals. So using AI to do some of the research to take the admin, you know, let's face it, no salesperson likes the admin. So taking that away from the role and freeing them up to do those higher value activities. So what are those higher value activities? Well, it's value creation conversation skills. It's standing out. It's doing something different. So there's a number of different steps that I have created that really help to design a better experience for the client. But fundamental and what underlies all of that is that ability to build higher levels of trust and confidence, to take the fear away from making a mistake. Most buyers are not afraid to spend money, but they are afraid to waste it. And what's really, really important in these conversation skills and in identifying the right people to have the conversations with, which is what you know, so much of your business does and your product does, is then being able to lead that conversation and ensuring that the client walks away from that conversation as your advocate, as your champion, as a raving fan, because that conversation needs to be skilled and strong enough that your contact is going into their internal meeting that you will never be invited to, and that they are able to passionately speak about your business as the solution or as a way to fix a problem that they have.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. What other things are you seeing as experiments in 2024? What are things that people are applying in their go-to-market strategies right now?
As experiments, I would say it's going back to basics. You know, so many people are coming to me and they're saying, Kira, what's going to give me the edge? What's the technology? What's this? What's the that? And a lot of it is ensuring that your team have these skills to really be able to build better relationships and get better quality intel. And I'll give you an example, right? So I was following an account exec on LinkedIn, and I could see that she was progressing. She was making headway within her company. And someone that she really wanted to have a conversation with, a prospective client, posted on LinkedIn that they were doing a Garmin challenge, and they were going to do 100,000 steps and kilometers in terms of exercise for that month, right? And they were raising money for their favorite charity. So she said, and I thought it was brilliant, that she would match that, she would do that, and she'd prove it with you know, whatever technology she was using, and if she did that, she would, you know, make her contribution, and could she get a conversation with him? So he thought this was brilliant. You know, it was a very innovative way to earn a conversation with him. So she got that conversation. So I followed up with her and I asked her, how did it go? As it turned out, both of them were going to be at the same trade show 2 weeks later. So even better, she got a face-to-face conversation with him. And I asked her, how did that go? And she said, it went great, Kira. She said, I got to go through my whole pitch deck. Now, my heart sank when I heard that, because that is not a definition of a great conversation with a client. That's a one-way transfer of information. And clients can get very good at going, yes, that's interesting. You know, so that's a missed opportunity. And really, in sales, it's the listening skills that are so, so important. And it's the ability to ask what I call these killer questions, questions that are going to get the client to open up, to almost give you your sales pitch. To observe the words that you're using, to observe where they get passionate, and when they're, you know, where you're hearing their frustrations, and you're taking note of what it is that's really, really important to them. And then you're using that in all of your approach, that you're sharing that with the marketing department. You're using that in your follow-up and tailor making the experience then for them, and tailor making a presentation for them when they're ready. They're not always ready for it straight away.
No, that's true. That's not not being too early to pitch or too eager to pitch when it comes to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is where a lot of opportunities are missed, where there is the pitch is definitely too early. And even in client demos, you'll notice, like, and when I'm observing a lot of technology companies, there's too much slide sharing happening. There's not enough questions been asked. And you're trying to make a relationship with this tiny little box in the top right hand corner. You know, most of that time really should be spent really observing their reaction, asking their questions, and then doing a little demo on how this is going to fix a certain problem. But again, the demo isn't necessarily the first conversation. Sometimes the demo should be the second or the third conversation. And so a lot of that early pitching happens, and then salespeople are wondering, why did they lose the deal, or why didn't they get invited to the next round? You know, so that's really, really important skill to get right and ensure that teams are skilled at, because it's not something that comes automatically. You know, when you're passionate about your product, when you have a deadline coming up, when you have a Q4 quota that you're trying to reach, sometimes, you know, people are a little bit too eager and just diving right in, and you lose the opportunity. So much of the work that I'm doing this year, not just is in the conversation skills, but it's helping salespeople to slow down and pace themselves that little bit, a little bit more, because there aren't quick decisions being made. And it's not one person that's making the decisions anymore. As I said, it's that internal conversation that is happening. Who are the other influencers? Are they uncovering them? And are they working with the marketing department to help uncover and go after the other stakeholders within this decision? When an economy is slow, when economy is in a little bit more difficult situation, nobody wants to take the risk of spending the money. It's shared out. And Shane Coff of Pointlist, I had very interesting conversation with him last year, and he said for their technology, when they were trying to win the Bank of America account, there was 40 different stakeholders that they had to work with, right? So that's mind-boggling, and that takes a lot of strategy and skills to get through all those 40 people.
No, and that is just so 40 decision makers there. My goodness. Yeah. But it depends on the organization. And for what you're saying there of listen to your buyer, let them help guide the conversation, have your process, but be flexible on how fast or how slow that your buyer wants to go. And that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's designing the experience that they need. And I didn't realize this, like when I was in sales in the hospitality industry, I was good at sales. You know, I definitely had a good conversion rate. But when I went to the other side and I became a buyer, I realized the mistakes that I had been making, and that I could have been even more successful and had a conversion rate of 60 or 70%, you know, as opposed to 50%. And so it's that buyer's perspective that I bring to the table. It's that ability and that third eye, as I call it, to look at your business, your sales, your strategy, your whole approach and your conversation from the client's point of view. And, you know, and asking people, come over here, take a look. And then when you design something from the client's point of view, everything changes. And it's really so important to be positioning yourself as that partner, as opposed to being the supplier. Because when you're seen as the supplier, which accidentally you can position yourself as, right? When you're seen as that supplier, the conversation can tend to be all about rate. You want to be at that partnership level where it's about value creation, where the investment, as I call it, as opposed to the price, isn't the number one priority. And it's that return on investment, having those strategic conversations, that's what's going to get the bigger value deals over the line.
No, absolutely. And speaking of investments, this is where we're going to change gears a little bit, Kira. We are now going to talk about what channels businesses could be investing in or that you would recommend investing in this year to help drive more of that pipeline. So are you ready for the pennies exercise?
I sure am. Let's go for it.
All right, Kira. So we have multiple different go-to-market channels. And again, our focus here is to try to build as much pipeline as possible, but we only have 100 pennies to do so. You can spend your 100 pennies in 10-cent increments. So now I have to ask you, Kira, where are you spending your pennies?
Well, I spent a lot of time talking about sales teams, so we have to put put a good bit of weight in there. So let's go for three.
All right, going bold, three off the start.
Okay, and then customer, that's the other important conversation that I was having. And let's weight that. I'm going to split the customer actually between customer and community. So if we put two into customer and one into community.
All right.
So it's building that right community. I do a lot of work in that area to help find the right customers. And customers been a key opportunity for you to find more great people like them. So events, face-to-face, very, very powerful. We know how much we missed that over the last number of years. And so events, I would put two into.
Right. Another two into events. That gives you two left.
Yeah. Marketing. We've got to give one to marketing. As long as that, of course, it's the right kind of marketing. It's that value driven marketing. Right. And other, I'm going to put into conversations and skills in conversations for the sales team. Training, absolutely. I think that's a very important one to have in there that that the team are able to build a pipeline with.
Excellent. So 30 in sales, 20 in customer and event, and then 10 in marketing, community, and now training to make sure that the sales, as you were talking about earlier, can have those conversations and have quality conversations, not just transactional pitch slaps, essentially, is what you can probably walk into.
Good phrase. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I was just at an event there last week in Germany. And when you walk into that that trade show, there's just like, it's like there's a cacophony of sound and it's conversations that are happening. And the energy that's in that room is amazing. There's about 1,300 different exhibitors, and it's like walking around the world because there's so many different countries represented there. But what I was observing is the conversations. And I noticed a lot of laptops out and a lot of one-way transfers of information. Mm-hmm. And I feel that there's a big opportunity to change that. If you want a tip in terms of trade shows, because I'm quite sure a lot of your listeners here are investing in that, a great outcome to focus your team on is to walk away with second conversations from a trade show. So the trade show is used as that opportunity to find the right quality stakeholders, customers, influencers, and then walking away, getting a calendar invite to have that second conversation, where perhaps it is more of an opportune time then to talk more about your business, to do a little bit of pitching, whatever. But it's, to, you know, sometimes in a trade show, you have 5 minutes, you have 10 minutes, you might have 15, 20 minutes, depending on the setup type. So walking away with a second conversation is golden.
No, I love that especially. It's a really, really good tip for all of our listeners out there, focusing on conversations, not booth scans. All right. Yeah. So now let's take your bets, your investments, Kira, and then pair those against our industry responses. All right, Kira. So here are our industry benchmarks from the surveys that responses that we'd received. This is the aggregate of where organizations were spending their pennies. That's in our blue. If I give this an update, you'll see your responses in orange. When you first look at this, what immediately comes to your mind?
Yeah, it's interesting to see what the others are also, right? Customer led, I am so surprised. I really think that there's a big difference there. Event led, it could be interesting to see, you know, how long has this been going for? And our events back in 2024. Like a lot of the customers that I'm working with, events are off the scale that everybody wants to get back in face to face. So that's interesting to see that it might depend on the timeline that has been there for. Sales led, fabulous to see that, right?
No, and it's good to have just an understanding of where people are investing, because to your point earlier, when you had all these people coming to you and saying, what's the brand new thing? What's the sizzle? What's the tool? What's the trick that I can use? And it's just coming back to basics, understanding where you're putting your investments, and then making sure that your team has the training necessary to have the conversations to win more hearts and minds and ultimately build that pipeline.
Absolutely. And with customer led there, if we can talk about that for a moment, your customers know your next best great customer, and a lot of the time companies aren't necessarily focused on getting a referral and asking for those. So if you know you've great customers, you know you've great product, and they're happy with it, you know, put in place a strategy where you can ask them, who else would you recommend, who else would love to get the results that we are getting. And customers, as you know, it's the best source of repeat business. It's the cheapest way to get more business. And a lot of companies, I'm seeing that this year, is that they're not necessarily focused on new business, new business, new business. It's increasing the value of their existing customers. And rather than having one or two contacts in a company, it's spreading that out. Is there 10 contacts at this company? A lot of the time there is, and they just haven't uncovered them yet. So that's interesting to see that, and maybe how that will change as 2024 progresses.
No, absolutely. And we look forward to seeing where your bets pan out this year, Kira. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today. And thank you for taking the time to share your expertise and perspective.
It's been mighty. Thanks a million, Ariana. Appreciate the conversation.